Hey, everybody. It is October the 21st. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. It's Wednesday night. You're listening to this show, So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Jody.
Welcome back to the show, Jody.
Why, thank you, Ken.
This is your... Now, you are the first guest host that is appearing for a second time.
Wow.
We've had many guest hosts. You're the first one coming back for a second time. How does that make you feel? Okay, let's go back to our cues. Do we recall them if I point at you with my left hand?
Oh, goodness. I don't have them.
How about my right hand?
I know one of them is you have a good point there.
Okay, that's really the only important one.
Yeah.
A lot of good news. We're going to start out with some good news.
I love good news.
All right. Just a few hours ago, the Ryan White Act passed the House. President Obama is to sign it. The House of Representatives just today passed the Ryan White HIV AIDS Treatment Extension Act by a vote of 408-9.
That's awesome.
That's very, very good.
Yeah.
Sending the bill to President Barack Obama's desk. The Senate approved the legislation last week, and the president is expected to sign it based on a statement of administration policy that encouraged passage of the legislation. The bill, a product of bipartisan, bicameral compromise, we like hearing that, will fund critical HIV and AIDS treatment and some prevention programs through 2013 at about $2.5 billion annually, a 5% increase for all sections of the act. The program helps about 500,000 mostly low-income and uninsured people living with AIDS, HIV annually. That's a good thing.
That's an amazing thing.
Don't you kind of want to hear about the 9 people who voted against it, though?
Well, it kind of makes me think, what do you find wrong with it? What's wrong with it?
Those are the people that don't like butterflies.
Oh,
and they don't
puppies.
Or puppies.
Or cupcakes.
So we want to find out who those 9 people are. Mm. So that was on one side of the political spectrum.
Okay.
On the other side, this is one of my favorite stories of the week. A Washington senator, so in a recent email to supporters, Washington State Senator Val Stevens made her final plea to constituents to vote no on Referendum 71, stating that gays and lesbians would, quote, take control of our culture and push their depraved lifestyle on our children and our families. Stevens said it was a miracle that Referendum 71, the ballot measure asking voters to approve or reject the state's expanded domestic partnership law, even made it onto the ballot because of the harassment and even death threats by the homosexual radicals.
What?
Pushing this into our faces. So, Jody, as our guest host for the night, I'll give you the opportunity to take control of the culture and push your depraved lifestyle on our children and families. What would you do first?
Oh, goodness.
Push that depraved lifestyle.
Push it. Okay. Well, I'd recommend that everyone eat breakfast every morning.
It's a good start.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's really important.
Okay. A gay breakfast?
Very gay. Gay eggs and or oatmeal, depending.
Gay oatmeal.
Gay oatmeal.
Rainbow oatmeal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally rainbow oatmeal.
Oh, you're really pushing that in the face.
I know. It's
children
pretty
and
hardcore.
Our families.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I would also say that. I would hope that people would graduate from high school.
Your standards are a little unrealistic, and no one here appreciates
that. Yeah, apparently not.
But it's nice to have you back on the show. Yeah. And with that, we're going to play a song for folks. We have quite the assortment of songs, including, I just can't help but play this one first, because this is an artist I never thought I would play on this show. This is an artist who I don't even think I had ever heard one of her songs all the way through before. Ladies and gentlemen, to you, I introduce the one, the only, Miley Cyrus.
I hopped up the plane at LAX with a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame, XX. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy. Everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man turned on the radio and it changed. club in my taxi cab, but everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick that's rocking kicks? She gotta be from out of town. So hard with my girls all around me. It's definitely not a Nashville party, 'cause all I see are stilettos. I guess I never got the memo. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kind of homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. It's when the DJ drops my favorite tune and the Britney song was on. And the Britney song was on. And the Britney.
Is a party in the USA. She was moving her hips.
Like, yeah.
She was.
Like, totally.
I went to work today. I fought for equality.
Like, yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Mm.
Two very interesting stories. I'm curious if you saw either one of these this week. And I guess in some ways they are exactly the same. And both of them bothersome. Did you see the stories about people dressing differently than their own gender? One of them was at Morehouse College. For folks that don't know, is an all-male college in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And they got a ton of press last week because they banned the wearing of women's clothes, makeup, high heels, and purses as part of a new crackdown on what the institution calls inappropriate attire. Now, that's what they say.
Uh-huh.
It's a crackdown on inappropriate attire.
Uh-huh.
But the quote from Dr. William Bynum, who is the vice president for student services, his quote is, "We are talking about five students who are living a gay lifestyle that is leading them to dress in a way we do not expect in Morehouse men." So this is not just about cross-dressing, because all the comments in the stories were, oh, they're trying to have a more professional way of dressing. But the vice president for student services, my equivalent at another college,
right.
"We are talking about five students who are living a gay lifestyle that is leading them to dress in a way we do not expect in Morehouse men." And then he says, before the school released the policy, this vice president said he met with Morehouse's Safe Space, the campus's gay organization, and he said, quote, "We talked about it. And then they took a vote. Of the 27 people in the room, only 3 were against it." What are you going to...
What?
Who's going to stand up and say, yeah, don't do this? I mean, it just seemed really bogus and it kind of annoyed me. And then in a very similar story, but on the high school level, the Copiah County School District, which is in Mississippi, I looked it up, is standing behind a decision not to publish a student named Sierra Sturgis's senior picture in the Wesson Attendance Center's yearbook because she chose to be photographed in a tuxedo instead of the drape. What the heck is a drape reserved for girls? What's a drape?
A drape? Is that like Scarlett O'Hara's dress or something?
I feel like I've seen your partner in a drape.
Not. she does not wear drapes. I'm sorry. No, okay. No. She wears really fashionable things. Drapes. I don't. Unless you're wearing a toga.
I don't want it to be said that I am saying your partner is not fashionable.
She is very fashionable.
She's very fashionable.
Yes.
Quite the chef.
That too. The fashionable chef, in fact.
She's a fashionable chef.
Yes.
But I thought a drape is more of a dress that I have absolutely no idea what a drape is.
I mean, it sounds like you pulled something off the window and you put it on.
No, I thought it drapes on you. I feel I've seen your partner in something that... Anyway, the school has no intention of reversing its decision, and this was the school's quote. We have had our legal counsel research the validity of the position of the school district on this matter. We are informed by counsel that this exact issue, blah, 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 I'm skipping ahead, the patrons of the district, and second, all other interested parties, that its position is not arbitrary, capricious, or unlawful, but this decision is based upon sound educational policy and legal precedent.
What educational policy would that be?
That drapery really enables focus. And when students look back on their yearbook photos, they are able to remember the learning because of the drapes. The drapes.
And tuxedos are not a learning experience.
They do not. Not for women.
Oh.
Not for women.
See, I must beg to differ because
have
it is...
Have you worn a tuxedo?
I have.
When was the last time you wore a tuxedo?
Well, proper tuxedo that I like rented and got fitted for, that was for the Freedom to Marry Gala in Massachusetts a few years ago.
I did not go to that.
Oh, it was very fun.
Okay. And how did you feel wearing a tuxedo?
Awesome.
Tell me.
It was completely awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very...
You would not have been able to have your yearbook picture
I know.
Taken.
I know. My yearbook picture is pretty lame, actually. I wore what I wore for, like, band concerts.
Which is not drapery?
No. Okay. No. Although I actually wore a...
You were wearing a uniform?
Well, it was, you know, black shirt... Not black shirt. White shirt and black... It was a black skirt, actually. I never, ever wear skirts anymore.
Now, have you ever received a comment when wearing a tuxedo?
Yeah. People say I look hot.
Okay. But what if I said to you, it's really not sound educational policy? You're in education.
I am.
It is not sound educational policy.
I would have to beg to differ, and I would tell them that it was quite the educational experience of learning what my proper size fitting is in a tuxedo, since they are designed for men. So you have to actually really be very kind of both flexible in the sizing as well as really be assertive about what you want to look like.
Now, were you making a political statement?
Nope.
You just wanted to wear a
tuxedo. I just wanted to look awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you looked awesome.
I did.
But I am standing across from you next to your partner who's wearing her drapes, and we are saying this is not sound educational policy. This is a distraction. It's your second time on the show. I get to call you out on stuff.
Yeah,
the first time,
apparently.
I'm very nice to you.
Yeah, you were very nice to me the first time.
All bets are off now.
Yeah.
So it's a distraction. You are not supposed to be wearing tuxedos. They are meant for men. What's wrong with you?
Apparently, I'm a deviant.
Yes.
So yeah. Although, you know, that in and of itself is an educational experience, because learning about deviancy, you know, it's really important to learn about that.
Why?
So that you can recognize it. You can see it for what it is.
Yes. Well, that's important. See? And back to Morehouse College. What do you do if you're one of those gay students? You're one of the first of all, your vice president going on the news and saying, well, there are five students who are not dressing this way, the way that they're dressing this way, and it's not the way they're supposed to be dressing. First of all, that's mortifying.
It's completely mortifying.
It's so unbelievably inappropriate. Again, this is my counterpart at another school. It's
a very
different school. Morehouse is a HBCU, historically black college.
Okay.
And university. It's a different school, and some of the quotes were very interesting, and I didn't cut and paste all of them, but the rest of the article was, we are trying to graduate men in the tradition of some of the most accomplished black men in society, and this and people cross-dressing is antithetical to being a positive role model in society. You're still thinking about your partner and drapes.
Yeah.
Focus
yeah,
on the
really
show, please.
Sorry. I can't agree with that. I can't agree with that. And what's unfortunate is that I certainly know that there are plenty of people who cross-dress who feel they have to keep it a secret, and they are successful, but they can't come out and say, hey, by the way, me, successful lawyer person, I happen to be a crossdresser, and it's perfectly normal for me, and it doesn't make me a complete and utter weirdo.
But don't you feel like that's just you taking control of the culture and pushing your depraved lifestyle on our children and families?
Absolutely, along with gay oatmeal.
Yes.
Yeah.
What flavor is gay oatmeal? You're an oatmeal eater, aren't you?
I am an oatmeal eater. I eat like the regular oats you get in bulk from the co-op,
right.
And I put maple syrup on it.
It's very gay.
It's totally gay.
It's very
Vermont gay. Yeah.
All right. And yeah. You make your own oatmeal.
Well, my wife makes it.
While she's wearing
drapery, okay. Apparently.
I just am really obsessed with that imagery.
I guess.
And I feel there's a particular outfit I'm thinking of because I feel like I'm going to get hit after the show. Well, what do you mean I wear drapery? I do not make coriander brownies, and I do not wear drapery. But there's a particular outfit that I'm thinking of, and in my head it was a compliment, and I recognize now that it did not come out that way. And so on behalf of really me, I'd like to apologize to anyone who may have been offended by the drapery comment who... lives with you. So we are going to play a little bit more music. We're going to transition from Miley.
Uh-huh.
Miley should only, you know, hope for such a transition.
Whew.
Into a dearly departed singer. Enjoy, folks. Jackson, we love that song. So I was just corrected on the instant messenger there. Jen wears shawls, not drapes. I apologize on behalf of fashionistas. Well, really everywhere. So
she does wear some really pretty shawls.
So I apologize. All right, I think it's time to welcome a guest. Are you there?
Yes, I'm wearing a scar.
Okay. See, you're going to fit right in. Hey, everybody. Dubbed as a dancing entrepreneur by the New York Times, choreographer Glenn Douglas Packard has worked with some of the biggest acts in entertainment, including Pink, Destiny's Child, Missy Elliott, Nelly Furtado, Whitney Houston, so many more. He has choreographed music videos, stage performances, and his work has been featured on Saturday Night Live and HBO. He was honored with an Emmy nomination. You are our first Emmy-nominated guest, to my knowledge, Glenn. For his artistic, it's a big deal, for his artistic direction on Michael Jackson's 30th anniversary celebration at Madison Square Garden. He can be seen as the best housemate one could ever hope to have on the reality show Brooke Knows Best on VH1. Glenn Douglas Packard, welcome to this show, So Gay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ken?
We're doing pretty well. And say hi to Jody. Jody's pinch hitting for Becca tonight.
Hey. Hi there.
Hi, Jody.
What's a good word? What's going on with you, Glenn?
Nothing. I'm actually about ready to head out to have a drink with the mayor of Miami.
Well, how'd that get set up?
And all that kind of stuff.
That's fantastic. What you got? Florida. Now, Florida gets a bad rap sometimes, Glenn, because particularly about gay adoption and some other not so gay friendly policies. What are you going to convince the mayor to do for a drink tonight?
You know what? I'm just going to keep feeding her some drinks until she's just is ready to just, you know what, she has a huge, huge support system here with the gay community, and we're really hoping, you know, we just had our first gay pride last year, which is so surprising, too.
Wow.
So,
that's really cool.
Yeah, so, you know, there's just, things are really happening here, and you know, everything's really becoming really exciting, and it's going to happen.
It's going to happen
everywhere eventually.
Do you know what her drink of choice is? Are you buying tonight, Glenn?
Well, I'm going over to Halo, so the mojitos are real popular there, but I'm kind of a dirty martini kind of guy right now.
Gotcha. Well, we were just playing some Michael Jackson. Some Michael Jackson played you into our show. Tell us your fondness for Michael Jackson.
Oh, it was an amazing moment in my life. And when I got the phone call to do his 30th anniversary special, it was such an honor. And I saw over 3,000 dancers. Dancers came from everywhere to audition, and 30 special dancers, you know, got the job, and they were even featured in Dance Spirit magazine, and
wow. And
it was just a real honor for all these people to come from everywhere, and the ones that got the job, it was just such an amazing experience for all of us, and just to work with the King of Pop and get that experience, and I'm so excited to be seeing his new movie that's coming out and the concert to see what he was going to do and the new stuff that was coming out.
Now, what do you think the gay fascination with Michael Jackson is? Because he's a hero to gay folks everywhere.
You know, he had fashion, he had dance moves. There was so many things that everybody, I mean, there's such a young generation that still looks at him as such a music icon. And all my nephews and my niece, they're all playing his music right now. They just, it's a whole nother generation that is just so in love with Michael Jackson.
Wow. And you got to work with him.
I did. It was really amazing. And I mean, there's some craziness going on too. I mean, it wasn't just him. I mean, he was really excited about doing this concert. He was reuniting with his brothers. He hadn't been on stage in 13 years. It was a celebration of his solo years. All the artists came out to perform on stage, you know, for him. Destiny's Child was there. Britney was there. And NSYNC.
Wow.
You know, crazy Whitney Houston was there. Bobby Brown was supposed to be there, but he didn't show up.
Well, there's that, yeah. Wow,
yeah,
that's...
It was a big... that was September 10th. That was right before September 11th.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
So in terms of other exciting things, I heard that you actually celebrated an anniversary recently. Is that true?
Actually, the anniversary is coming up on Monday.
Oh, it's coming up on Monday.
It's me and Daniel's one-year anniversary.
Yay! Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah, which is 5 years in gay years.
Of course it is. What do you have planned?
Actually, we probably, because we spend so much time together all the time, we'll probably celebrate with friends. We'll probably go out with a lot of people and kind of celebrate, you know, our love.
So we'll be
with friends probably for sure.
Awesome.
Because every day to us is a celebration.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
That's good. This is a good endorsement, Glenn.
You know what? We're having the time of our lives right now, and, you know, relationships are hard, and even in the entertainment business, they can be even harder, and I travel a lot, and it's just nice to know that when I'm away, I have somebody that I can trust, and it feels so good to be able to focus on what I need to be focusing on when I'm away instead of worrying what could be going on or what's happening. It's so nice to have that in my life now.
Well, I must say, nothing says romance, just to suggest something for, you know, your Monday festivities. Nothing says romance like you and your partner by a fire listening to the podcast of your appearance on this show. I'm just saying. just
right.
I'm just putting that out there.
I've been tweeting about the show all day today.
Oh, good.
I got my tweeters that are going to be tuning in. I even have over on Facebook, there's a Glenn and Daniel official Facebook page. And I let them all know that it was going to be on. So
all right.
I'm promoting you guys.
I'm just saying, cool. You know, there's wine and there's romance, but it's really the podcast, I think, that brings couples together. I just want to put that out there.
Well, speaking of bringing couples together, I also saw that you did one of the photos for the No on 8 campaign.
Yeah.
And do you see yourself doing more work for marriage equality in the future?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something that I'm definitely going to be doing a lot of, because one thing that I hope that I do get a career of is a career of just love, because I am really about being in a relationship. And if I can't have all the equal rights as, say, my parents do or my brother or my sister, it just doesn't seem right. And I'm going to be fighting that and making people aware that why don't I have the same opportunities and why can't I scream out to the world that I'm in love with somebody and have all the same equal rights.
There you go. All right. So we got more of that work coming up. You know, I think it was maybe 2 months ago we had Tyler Engel on the show, and Tyler is a soloist with the New York City Ballet. And we were talking just about his experiences growing up and kind of the challenge sometimes of people assuming that you're gay because you're a dancer, and and then people who are straight who want to be dancers and they're assumed to be gay. Has there ever been a conflict for you? And one of the biggest issues in particular, the people saying, well, you can't be a masculine dancer and be gay. And I know ballet's a little bit of a different style than the choreography that you do, but I'm wondering if you've experienced kind of some of the same experiences with your dance.
You know what? Really, to be honest, I think for a while I was really quiet about my sexuality,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't want that stereotype to be attached to being a male dancer and the fact that I am gay. And I felt almost like I was not being true to who I was. And what happened was I almost lost my leg, and I actually almost lost my life when I was around 19 years old.
Yeah.
I was in a really bad four-wheeler accident. And where I was from, boys didn't dance. I grew up in a small town in the country, but it's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But boys didn't dance, and you never said the word gay. And if you did, it was like using it in a bad, calling somebody a bad name.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I realized that when that happened to me, I really found who I was, because I was going to stop living the kind of life I was living, someone else's dream. It was time for me to live my dream. And so I became a gay man. I ended up going for my dream, which was dance. And it took me a little while to be really comfortable with my sexuality. But now, because of the show, I realized what a huge responsibility it is to have people on TV like me for kids from other kind of small states. The thing is that I was from New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been in L.A., I've been here in Miami, and it's so accepting. But there's so many small states, smaller cities, towns, where it is still such an issue.
Absolutely.
And I really need to address that. I want to be one of those kind of people that they know that it's okay, you're not alone. You know, it's really important.
I feel like you've definitely gotten that. I would put all my money on that you've received some fan mail from people who are in the middle of nowhere who have said thank you so much for being an out gay man on TV.
And you know what, Ken, that's the horrible thing is I get so many kids writing to me about suicide or wanting, you know, just so many things. And my heart, like, just pounds, and it's just so upsetting that I was there one time too in my life, and I
Absolutely.
Even tried a couple times, and thank God it never happened. And I think I was just reaching out for help, and not really wanting to die,
right.
But I was looking for somebody to notice something or ask, what's wrong? What's going on? And, you know, so many of these kids are probably doing the same thing, and then some of them end up going through with it, and then
yeah.
they never get
mm-hmm.
to really experience life and how amazing it is and how all that doesn't matter, and there's people out there that love you no matter what, and you'll find your family or friends, and your family eventually comes around too, and they end up loving you for who you are.
But just having out gay role models, we were talking about this last week, the subject of our show was actually LGBT youth and suicide, as we were talking about the Trevor Project, and we had the executive director of the Trevor
yes.
Project on.
And, I really want to get involved with that.
Yeah, oh, it's an amazing organization. But you have to know, Glenn, that you actually already are involved with it. By being an out role model, you are saving lives, and I would hope that you know that, because you are undoubtedly doing that just by being yourself. And so on behalf of all those folks,
everything else now doesn't matter. Like
yeah.
working with Michael Jackson, the Emmy nomination, those kind of things, I really have really all of a sudden found something that I'm so even more passionate about. And that is even through just dance. I mean, dance has gotten me to where I am now in choreographing, and it's made me be able to inspire people and touch people. And I think I am ready to take on this role. I think more, you know, and people are so against reality shows. And the sad thing is that I really feel like it's doing such a good in our community, because we're on TV. People
yeah.
are seeing us. It's not a fake character acting a certain way. It's a real person on TV.
Well, and you also have a life, Glenn. I mean, you're not just there are some reality folks out there who are just on TV, and I'm not exactly
well, yeah.
sure what it is they're doing.
Competition was.
Yeah, yeah. You have a career, sir.
Yeah.
So that's great role modeling.
You know, we watch Modern Family, which is on today.
Love it.
I'm TiVoing it right now, of course.
Love it.
But you watch the show, right?
Yes.
Like, I think, you know, seeing a couple with a child adopting, I think it's so amazing. It's like, how amazing would it be to see a real family, a real gay couple going through that, because so many people have questions about that.
Yeah.
Like, how can two men or two women raise a child?
Yeah.
How does that child, you know, become, you know, what the questions of what, you know, is it good for a child? I think those kind of things need to be seen on TV so that kids and other generations are seeing it. And, you know what, I'm preaching way too much.
It's all good. Now, Jody, I have to tell you, Jody is looking at me very blankly. Let me just pause for a second. Jody,
yes.
Modern Family is a TV show.
Oh.
So the TV is that thing. Well, I'm in Vermont, Glenn, and what I have found in my time in Vermont is that people tend to glaze over when you start talking about TV shows. So I tend to use a safe word with my partner. We say aardvark if we find ourselves talking about TV in front of people and their eyes just glaze over. So, Jody,
yes.
Aardvark.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
But you can
good.
Watch
Jody,
it.
Jody, you will find a character on there that you relate to. You will.
Yes.
Okay. Actually, I do watch some stuff on Hulu, but I
got to catch this show. It's a good one.
I definitely want I want to catch Glee, too.
Oh.
Glee, I know. I have like 5 episodes of TiVo. I kind of like to TiVo everything, and like I'll watch like all season all at once. One day when I'm on my couch, and I just think it's so crazy.
You got to leave the couch at some point, Glenn. Oh, I love, no, Glee. Glee is just fantastic. Glee is really, I adore Glee. I think I love the out gay character on Glee. There was big Glee news right before we got on the air that Madonna is allowing Glee to use her whole song catalog. So
oh, cool.
It's going to get even gayer, and I don't even know how that's possible. So we got to talk to you about your music for 1 second, Glenn, because this is the part of the show that our listeners love, where we ask you, we're going to ask you what some of your song choices say about you, Glenn. Now, there's a song that from an artist that I said earlier, I didn't know that I would ever play her on this show. So this is the first time she's been played. This is the only song of hers I have now in my iTunes catalog. Tell our listeners, Glenn, why you wanted to play Party in the USA by Miss Miley Cyrus.
Okay. I can remember when I moved to New York City.
Uh-huh.
And I was that young, 20-year-old, wide-eyed kid.
You better make this convincing, Glenn. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you. Miley Cyrus was played on the show. Go ahead.
I have lived a great life and a huge adventure. But I will always remain being that humble farm boy from Clare, Michigan that had a dream. So I stay being a dreamer, and that song's about being a dreamer.
All right. She's shaking her hips like, yeah, Glenn. I just want to point that out. All right, so we'll take that. We'll move on from Miley. Okay. Now tell us, from the entire Beyoncé repertoire, why Halo? Yeah.
Halo, it's just because it's me and Daniel's anniversary, and I'm a little bit on the romantic side right now.
All right.
And when you watch the video, that's a lot like how me and Daniel are when you see us at home.
All right. Aww. Look how we're getting some insight. And then a song I have to tell you. Now, we know why you picked Michael Jackson, and we love that song. Now,
yes,
a song, the song that's going to play you out in a couple seconds is a song that I actually didn't know. Tell everybody about Evacuate the Dance Floor.
Yeah, it's actually an artist over in the UK that's really popular right now. What's her name again?
Cascada,
yes. And it's got a very Lady Gaga feel to it.
It does.
It's just the kind of music I love. And it actually, there's talk about me doing a song in a music video. And if that happens,
Wow. It'll
be a song just like that.
Oh, wow. Are you breaking some news on our show? Anything you want to tell anybody?
No, there's some things in the works right now.
All
so
right.
With the connections that I have and the people that I work with in the industry, there's the ability to be able to record a track and do a music video and do it for fun.
Well, who's gonna choreograph it?
I wonder.
Glenn, tell everyone where they can go to learn more about you and everything you're working on.
You guys can, of course, always Twitter me at twitter.com/GlennPackard, or you can find me over at my MySpace, Glenn Douglas Packard.
And your website. We love your website.
Yeah, website, though, it's just, you know, it stays stationary for so long. I have blogs on there, which people are always writing about their coming out stories. So I started that on my blogs on my website, glendouglaspackard.com. So hopefully that helps some people with their coming out, too, to let them know they're not alone.
And because I actually know some people who would be really angry with me if I didn't ask, how's Brooke?
She's doing good. She's in L.A. right now.
Okay.
And she's, you know, got her album released right now, so she's working on her album and just promoting it and working on her love life with Stax.
All right.
And Ashley, the other roommate,
yes,
is over in New York City right now.
We had people writing us and saying, oh, well, you have to ask him. I actually had an email came in right before the show saying how just inspiring it was, your interactions with Hulk Hogan. That, yes, they were funny, but that two very different people could come together and have that dialogue and connect in a way that people hadn't seen on TV was really inspiring to a lot of people. So I wanted to put that out there because it is some great scenes. And it's nice to see really two different communities come together like that.
Yes. And that's what it was. It was, he's got this really straight macho fan base but then they saw him saying, you know what? Hugging me, giving me a kiss, loving me, and seeing that it's okay to be who I am. And it opened up a lot of people's eyes.
It definitely did. Well, Glenn, we are thrilled that you are who you are. We want to wish you just the happiest anniversary on Monday.
Thank you. Thanks.
We know we'll be there because you'll be listening to this podcast. but just have an amazing time. Keep doing what you're doing. We love.
And you guys, too.
We love who you are, Glenn. Too. And we can't wait to see more from you.
All right. Thank you so much.
All the best, Glenn.
Thank you.
Let's get out on the floor. I like to move it, come and give me some more. Watch me get physical, out of control. There's people watching me, I never miss a beat. Still the night, kill the lights, feel it under your skin. That's right, keep it tight, cause it's pulling you in. Rip it up, you can't stop, cause it feels like an overdose.
It's like an overdose.
Take me on the ground. Evacuate the dance floor. body's aching system overload. Temperatures rising, I'm about to explode. Watch me, I'm intoxicated, digging the show. It's got me hypnotized, your body step aside. Still the night, kill the lights, feel it under your skin. That's right, keep it tight, cause it's pulling you in. Wrap it up, you can't stop, cause it feels like an overdose.
Feels like an overdose. Evacuate, feel the club is heating up. Move on and accelerate, push it to the top. Come on and evacuate, feel the club is heating up. Move on and accelerate, you don't have to be afraid.
Now guess who's back on a brand new track? They got everybody in the club going mad. So everybody in the back, get your back up off the wall and just shake that thing. Go crazy, yo lady, yo baby, let me see you wreck that thing. And drop it down low, low, let me see you take it to the dance floor. Yo,
everybody in the club.
All right, that was Evacuate the Dance Floor by Cascada or Cascada. We're not sure. We just like the song.
It's cool.
It's pretty cool. So there was one more story that I wanted to mention before I put you on the spot. I thought this was kind of cool. A federal lawmaker is touting an adoption anti-discrimination bill that he recently introduced as a way to find more homes for children living in the welfare system. U.S. Representative Pete Stark, who's a Democrat from California, introduced the Every Child Deserves a Family Act, which would restrict federal funds for states that discriminate in adoption or foster programs on the basis of marital status, sexual orientation, or gender identity. He said in an interview that he introduced the legislation in part because thousands of children each year age out of the child welfare system without finding homes. Quote, we got 25,000, okay, his grammar is not great, but we got 25,000 kids a year maturing out of the welfare system without permanent foster care or adoptive care, and the prospects of those children having a successful adult life are diminished greatly. Mm-hmm. These are kids who end up in the criminal justice system or end up homeless, and so he is looking to, the legislation would restrict funds for states where restrictions are put in place by agencies, individual social workers, or judges, or where restrictions are part of the common law of the state. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of kids who have told me they've been in the foster system and the experiences in the foster system has been really mixed. Because unfortunately there's people who really care and they do it. But then there's the people who do it because they just want the money. They're not really caring parents. They just want the money they get for foster kids. And to be able to broaden the pool that much more, to just not discriminate against people, it's so crucial. Having that stable family background, even for a little while, decreases the risks of getting into really bad trouble.
Now, do you see yourself and the missus putting some draperies on some little tykes at some point?
Not currently. We talked about it a while ago, and it's not something in the works at the moment. I don't want to say like never, but where we are right now, it's not something we're thinking about.
Okay. All right.
So
did you get that little draperies on the little one? I was invoking the conversation earlier about the draperies and the shawls.
Yeah, actually, it would need to be shawls, I'm afraid. So not draperies.
Yes, she doesn't wear that.
No.
What else? What else gay is on your mind? We have time. This is great.
Wow.
We never have time at the end of the show to just talk gay.
To talk gay.
What gay
things
are on your mind?
Gay things on my mind.
This is your second time co-hosting. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah, it's very different.
It's different than the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no training wheels.
No.
They're off. What gay is on your mind? Did you guys didn't go to the National Equality March? You had a concert.
No, I did. I was singing in a concert.
Did you watch any of it on TV?
No, but I'm going to have lunch with coffee. Not lunch. I'm going to have coffee with the woman who is the executive director of AIDS Services for the Monadnock region, who did go. I'm going to see her not this week but next week, and so I'm going to ask her how that was. I'm sure it was incredible. She was going to meet with Cleve Jones.
Oh, Cleve Jones.
We
have to get Cleve Jones on the show.
That would be pretty awesome. Okay, actually, you should talk to this woman. Her name is Susan McNeil, and the AIDS Services housing project is called the Cleve Jones Wellness House, so named after him, and he's definitely chatted with her. He's been to the area.
Okay.
I think he's even spoken at Keene State. So you should talk to her.
We'll talk to her. And you went to an AIDS benefit concert last week.
I did. I went to Notes for Life, and that was really great.
It was nice.
It was really nice, yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah.
What's next? What's next gay on your agenda?
Next gay on my agenda.
What cause do you want to take up? So you can only have one cause, one gay cause. What are you taking? Are you taking marriage, adoption, school bullying?
School bullying.
Blood donate.
School bullying. Yes, school bullying, definitely. And especially at the middle school level, it's horrible. It is really, really horrible.
Yeah.
And actually, what's the most crippling part of it is that the people who care and want to do something and actually can find the resources, they can go to GLSEN and get all these great curriculum materials and videos. But the school districts are so terrified at the middle school level to even mention it because they want to protect the children. There's this whole sort of, no, we must protect them from the outside. They need to be protected and we can't talk about that. And yet they're it's the worst sexual harassment they face is at the middle school level. It's even worse than at the high school level.
Speaking of GLSEN, have you been following any of the stuff with Kevin Jennings?
What's going on with Kevin Jennings?
Oh, well, President Obama put him in this post, or he's something in the Department of Education, and he is getting lambasted from all sides, and people are calling for him to resign.
Why?
Well, apparently, years and years ago, I'm going to get the story wrong, but a youth was saying that he was sleeping with a much older man, and Kevin Jennings was very new in his career, and just his comments to this youth were about making sure that he had protection and didn't really address the fact that I think it must have been that this man was having sex with a minor. So he was trying to make sure that the student was safe protection-wise, but was still learning his career and didn't quite know what to do, and expressed regret about that in his book. And people are saying he is the worst role model. It's not good. It's not good. He's really getting lambasted from all sides.
And, you know, the severity of that sort of comment doesn't even match all of the other sex scandals that all these other public figures have had. It just feels so minor, and it feels like he's getting really getting that attention because he's gay. That's what it feels like.
They're making it seem like Kevin Jennings is shaking his hips just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I'm manning the instant messenger tonight. Normally, Becca does this. You don't get to do that till your third appearance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm manning the instant messenger, and we have Melanie writing in. And Melanie is using her children as an excuse for why she listens to Miley Cyrus. When I am asserting that she had her children so that she could listen to Miley Cyrus.
Oh.
So we'll be having that out on the instant messenger. If you don't know, this is a live show, folks. I know we got the thousands of people listening on the on the iTunes there, but you could also listen live from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WVEW.org. And you can learn all about that on thisshowisogay.com. We have just the most incredible, incredible guests coming up. I am flipping the heck out. Today was just a great day of booking people. Billy Myers, who is one of my favorite singer-songwriters, and she wrote the song called Kiss the Rain, and she's got a new album out, and so she's going to be on in a few weeks. And we just booked David Daniels, who is really one of the most famous opera singers in the world. He is the countertenor in the world.
Very cool.
So he's going to be on. It looks like he's going to be on right after the new year. I can't believe we're booking for the new year. I'm not even through this year yet.
It's coming up.
Well, my issue is definitely I was in Minnesota. Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long couple days. I went to Minnesota, which is apparently, I don't know if you know this. This this show can also be educational for folks. It's a state.
Really?
It's actually one of the 50, which I did not know. I thought it was a province, a Canadian province, that where there are, is that not good?
No, my wife is from
there,
sir.
She's going to be mad. Okay. She is going to throw that shawl at me and say, no. Cardamom brownies for you. So yes, I was in Minnesota, which again, a state.
Yeah.
And they didn't even join. I looked this up. Didn't even join recently. They've been a member of the 50 for a while now, for like a good 8 or 9 years. So I went to the Minnesota and I was in St. Cloud and I spoke at St. Cloud State University and I did my presentation called Queers, Jeers, and Beers. A multimedia presentation exploring the link between alcohol and other drugs in gay students. The interesting thing about that is at the same time as my presentation, there was a blood drive going on. And so St. Cloud State University is actually quite progressive in terms of they have an LGBT resource office, which is a resource center, which most schools do not have. And they have an LGBT resource director and a graduate assistant and tons of students in the office. And the fact that they were bringing me there, that in itself implies that they're a progressive state. And so someone had said, well, I talk a little bit about alcohol and other drug use as escapism for gay students. And I think the comment was, well, what? This is a pretty progressive school. Yes, but right this second, there's a blood drive going on that most of the people in this room cannot give blood to because we're gay. And so it was kind of a nice little correlation between, that's one of the issues that people still are not very aware of.
It is true. They aren't that aware of it.
It's still so weird to me.
It is.
If you're listening to this show, and I know we have a ton of new people listening because there are big Glenn Douglas Packard fans out there. If you do not know that the FDA, through the Red Cross, bans the donation of blood from any man who's had sex with a man since 1977, any woman who's had sex with a man who's had sex with a man since 1977, and all women who wear shawls. And so it's not good. They desperately need the blood. Minnesota's a state, apparently.
Yes.
It's a whole state. So.
And it's a very large state.
That I do not know.
It's very big.
I was in Minneapolis, and then I drove over to St. Cloud, and the car service picked me up at 4 a.m. yesterday, and I was done with St. Cloud.
Yeah.
And that was that.
The cities are really the interesting part.
Oh.
You need to hang out in the cities.
All right.
They're really cool.
I was in St. Cloud, which I think is the capital.
No, it is not.
No, I think it... I think you're wrong on this, and keep in mind, you're a guest. I think it is the capital. You know, Jody, I'm trying to educate people on the show, and your resistance to that is palpable.
My resistance to incorrect information is very strong.
It's interesting to me that you are so unequivocal about your stances on things and really don't allow for another opinion. And the way that you do push your deviant lifestyle upon the children.
Oh, you figured it out.
It's really reminiscent of our listener Melanie's appreciation for Miley Cyrus, which I just want to put out there again. Her name is Melanie Siegel. And she likes Miley Cyrus. It has nothing to do with her children. Anyway, anything else gay you want to share? Anything coming up?
Gay things coming up.
What do you got coming up? Are the kids performing?
My students?
Yes.
Oh, yes. They're performing. They're performing this week and next week. They're performing for Red Ribbon Week, which is really not all that gay, but it's the alcohol and drug awareness week that... SAMHSA put out there so that schools do awareness events and prevention events. So they're doing some performances on peer pressure and substance abuse and all that kind of stuff.
I actually, again, this is one of my passions is the link between alcohol and other drugs and gay students. Well, that's not my passion. My passion is educating people on it. And last week when we had Charles Robbins on the show, he quoted the 190 statistic that LGBT youth are 190. The odds are 190 times greater than heterosexual youth to interact with alcohol and other drugs. And I know my stats and I didn't really know that one. I did some research. And if you go and Google 190 and then gay youth, it will, that the study that he referred to automatically pops up. And in that study, they found that, I think it was not just are gay youth 190 times more likely to interact with substances, but bisexual youth are 280 times, and
whoa,
lesbian girls are 400 times.
Oh, my God.
400%. The odds are 400% greater. It was really quite nutty. Now, the study, of course, stops right at college age. Because the assumption is, well, you can't track alcohol and other drug use with college students because it just increases so exponentially, which, I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
One of our listeners would like us to highlight that the Halloween parade in New York City is coming up.
Oh.
Have you been to that?
No.
I have. It was a terrible experience. I'm never going back.
I'm so sorry. There's going to be a Halloween parade in Brattleboro.
You never heard the story about me and the Halloween parade?
No.
I think I've told it on the show before, where I was pinned. Someone in their costume fell over, and I was pinned by it, and someone snapped a photo, and it was in the Village Voice the next day.
Ugh.
But I didn't even know what I was pinned by until that picture, and it was a guy dressed up as Massengill. So if everyone wants to just deal with that image for a while, that's the image that Jody and I will leave you with, your entertainment value for your evening. Jody, as always, a pleasure having you guest hosting. Would you do it again?
I would do it again. This is very fun. I really enjoy it.
Different
being on the
than
show
the first time.
It is very different.
It's just different every time.
Yeah.
The question is if you remember your key role in this whole thing.
This is
going to be the important part now.
Uh-huh.
Folks, get out there, do amazing things, educate people. Tell other people that St. Cloud is the capital of Minnesota. Also tell them it's a state. It is a state, people. Jen, don't deny it's a state. It is, you and your shawls. Get out there. Do great things. Educate, as Glenn Packard would want you to do. Dance. Inspire others. And remember, here it comes, Jody. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Why be gay when you can be
so gay?
Very well done.
Fight. They didn't even make the sound. I found a way to let you in.